Rothenberg, he criticized into his own. The attack on magical aura and artificially restored aura and the affirmation of shock and dissonance are staples of his defense of the post-auratic art of Schoenberg and Kafka. Nevertheless, in the 1930s, the ways have parted over the issues of collective or communal reception, the hope of which Benjamin defended, and totalizing synthesis and mediation, for the sake of which Adorno was eventually to consent even to privatization. Adorno's later sociology of music in particular systematically demonstrates the increasing confinement of genuine reception of genuine works to experts whom he hated for their specialized ignorance. Footnote 119, text. However, Adorno understood. Footnote 120, text. Page 219. While the proper goal of autonomous art is the restoration of lost aesthetic capacities, art paradoxically is able to resist the reality that destroys its potential audience only by even greater esotericization. This is the antinomy of modern art. In Kantian language, an antinomy is the duality between equally defensible but opposite theoretical arguments. It is the concept of antinomy that are all reunifies the projects of Adorno and Benjamin. In both their cases, the antinomy of culture blocked the way to systematic philosophy. For both of them, in the end, only the essay form allowed the maintenance of contradictions without spurious harmony, and yet in a common field, whether to save the posture of uncompromising critique even at the cost of privatization, or to save the relationship of art and theory to a mass audience, even if critique is partly compromised. This was the bad alternative which neither could satisfactorily resolve. The opposition penetrates in the works of both Adorno and Benjamin, and yet they are ultimately at its two poles. The work of each of the only corrective for that of the other. They are the torn halves of an integral freedom to which, however, they do not add up. Footnote 121, text. Alternatives in aesthetic theory. The subject to which art appeals is socially anonymous at the present time, Marcuse. Enchantment disappears when he tries to settle down, Adorno. A crucial part of Adorno's aesthetics is utopian thrust, remained largely in the background in his exchange with Benjamin, rooted in the conception of art as a mode of cognition. It was a concern he shared most with Marcuse. Both paid a degree of attention, therefore, to formal issues in the arts that made them highly suspect to more orthodox Marxists. Not only did Adorno reject out of hand any aesthetic potential of socialist realism or literature engagée, which mandated a content regardless of its formal mediation, but, like Marcuse, he gave a weight to the so-called subjective factor as the principle of negation, drawing violent attacks from Lukács, who frequently equated formal concerns with bad subjectivism, and with bourgeois decadence, and elevated the radical rupture of any status quo, the discontinuity with anything merely given to represent the very logic of modern art. Footnote 122, text. Page 220. For critical theorists, of course, the function of a theory was very much part of its content, and the reason for the focus on subjective informal dimensions were themselves historical. In societies thoroughly integrated by the culture industry, a term Adorno coined, there where exchange and technological rationality have become total life forms and screens of experience, where rational alternatives were literally inconceivable, where the traditional agent of change, the proletariat, seems to have surrendered this role in such intentionally one-dimensional societies, it was difficult to maintain Hegel's, also the late Lukács's and the late Brecht's, faith that the true is the whole. Today the empirical whole is the untrue, Adorno resignedly asserted. The historical project of substantive reasons may no longer be vested in the bad objectivity of any visible agent or any status quo, but in whatever contained the potential for its transcendence. Even an indeterminate negation, such as Marcuse's great refusal, may thus be legitimate at first, to secure an arena in which alternatives become conceivable again, in a conceptual geistigen hierarchy, which relentlessly demands responsibility on its terms. Responsibility alone is capable of calling the hierarchy by its proper name. Footnote 123, text, Adorno charged. The thrust of this argument derives from the later Frankfurt schools, especially Adorno's perception of the ultimate evil, heteronomy, a kinder and more inclusive word for domination. Today, a quieter, more insidious bondage of consciousness has taken the place of older, more immediate forms of oppression, which had allowed, at least for opposition in thought, exchange, rationality, reification, and administrative rationality, the prevalent contemporary forms of reason, are forms of instrumental reason, which reduces the identity of people and things to functions of something else. Such historical shifts do not leave aesthetic functions and goals unaffected. Insofar as one can speak of a social function of works of art, it lies in their functionlessness. Footnote 124, text. In the face of overall instrumentalization, the useless alone represents what at one point might become the useful, the happy use, contact with things beyond the antithesis of use and uselessness. Footnote 125, text. Where reason has lost the capacity for self-transcendence and even the capacity to perceive this at a loss, alternatives have to be conceived from what looks like the outside. Page 221, text. Philosophically, this conclusion also entails the final dismissal of the idealist residues in Marx, such as his belief in an immanent logic of social formations to develop in a specific direction, aesthetics once meant theory of perception, and when the term assumed its present meaning, it became perception disinterested in the pseudo-objective interests structuring a given reality. Everything aesthetic is something individuated, Adorno stressed, and is thus an exception by virtue of its own principle. Footnote 126, text. It is well to keep in mind, however, that both Adorno and Marcuse relentlessly opposed base subjectivism, that is, the particular in abstract, unmediated opposition to the equally illusory objective or general subjectivity is the epitome, inbegriff, of mediation, as Adorno formulated in Subject and Object. In this volume, it is the transcendental form, literally the terms in which the objective general appears to use. As such, subjectivity coincides with the concept of technique in the arts. Technique is the very essence of mediation. Footnote 127, text. The aesthetic principle of individuation that Adorno kept invoking means the directive for the artist to devise alternative forms of objects, trial objects, or counter-realities through alternative transcendental ideas which retrieve the previously invisible, ignored or suppressed, but concrete potentialities of given historical situation. This is why an advanced consciousness is not something the artist may or may not have, or something which essentially does not affect his or her creativity. It is the sine qua non of authentic art in a situation where the content of consciousness tends increasingly to be preformed. Problems in the theory of knowledge reemerges immediately in aesthetics. How the latter can interpret its objects depends on the concepts of their objects developed in the former. Footnote 128, text. Adorno concludes in his aesthetic theory. Similarly, Marcuse's postulated that art should become gemalte oder modellierte Erkenntniskritik. In the course of this process, the artist has to work with given materials and meanings, and thus must know them thoroughly if he, she wants to avoid merely reproducing bad objectivity. Mutatis mutandis, the same holds for the audience. If you do not know what you are seeing or hearing, you are not enjoying an immediate relation to the work of art. You are simply incapable of perceiving it. Consciousness is not a layer in a hierarchy superimposed on perception, but all moments of the aesthetic experienced are reciprocal. Footnote 129, text. Such a need to control all the determinations and mediations, Bestimmungen, of the material explains Adorno's preference for highly conscious and critical artists such as Kafka, Valéry, Mann, Schönberg, and Beckett, who do not just leave the objective and heteronomous meaning intact. Page 222. For art's innermost principle, the utopian principle revolves against the principle of definition, whose tendency is to dominate nature. Footnote 130, text. Defining is an arresting, contologizing act, working at across purposes with the procedural character of art. The moment we want to express something particular, we have to use collective, general terms, thereby eliminating the very particularity. A merely transcendent position thus can never represent aesthetic individuation. Only the act of negating the objective or given, the act of transcending, not its result. Compare the antinomies of communicability above. Embodies the principle of individuation. Not only does Adorno polemicize against the idea of timeless art, the idea of lasting works is modeled after the categories of property. Footnote 131, text. But he makes it the very principle of art to seek out and synthesize the incompatible, unidentical elements in the process of friction with one another. Footnote 132, text. Adorno would contend that this is not a whim of the aesthetician, for the processual nature of art is constituted by its needs as an artifact, as human-made, with its a priori place in the mind, for the non-identical, the heterogeneous, the not yet formed works of art need the resistance of the other against them. It induces them to articulate their own formal language. This reciprocity constitutes art's dynamism.